All right, you guys can open up your Bibles to Colossians 1, verses 24 through 29. That's where we're going to be at today. As we go through Colossians, we have seen this idea that Christ is greater, that he is superior, that he is foremost in everything, first in everything. He is supreme leader of all of creation. And that's kind of the idea we've been running with as we go through Colossians. And so the idea that we're going to look at today, we're going to see itself work out, is we're going to see that experiencing the blessings of Christ compels us. Experiencing the blessings of Christ compelled Paul. That's the idea we're going to look at today and iron it out. And assuming that we all have eaten out before, right? How many of us have had an awful restaurant experience? And because of that, it compels us to go back. I hope that's none of you. That's utterly nonsense. Because if your server comes up and, you know, asks how you like your chicken cooked, I hope you don't say medium rare, and she shouldn't be asking you how you want your chicken cooked in the first place, right? So, you know, if you hear that, you might want to start running, right? That's not a good thing to hear. So when Zaylee and I were in Nebraska, we went to this restaurant, a newer restaurant, and we were nice, and we did the newlywed thing. We shared an appetizer and desserts, but not our main courses. And we went home later that night, and I got food poisoning, and she didn't. I won't ever forget that. It was awful moments, awful experience. And because of that experience, it compelled me to never sit within blocks of that restaurant because of my awful experience, right? But how many of us have a great experience at a restaurant, but that never compels us to go back? That's ridiculous, right? Because no one, when we're walking out of a restaurant, we just had an awesome experience, none of us say to the hostess, "This was great, but you'll never see us again. We don't want to come back." No, that's trash. It's garbage. That's just awful. We don't do that. Now, when Zaylee and I flew out here in February, last February, 14, 15 months ago, as we're leaving the Philly airport, there's chicken and Pete's, right? And we went in there. We just saw they had some fries. And so we got their fries, right? And oh, man, they were good. Those sweet potato fries were amazing. You know the song that says that by the Proclaimers, "I'm Gonna Be"? And in the chorus it says, you know, "I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 miles more." Well, I would walk 500 miles and 500 miles more for those sweet potato fries at Chicken and Pete's. Because of our awesome experience at that restaurant, we look forward to it. And it compels us back to that restaurant whenever we go to the Philly airport or whenever we see one. Right? And so our experiences, all of our experiences, yours, mine, whenever we have good experiences at restaurants, it compels us to go back. And it's the same with our relationship with God. As we experience his grace, his strength, his mercy, his blessings, maybe in a subtle or profound way, it doesn't scare us away, but instead it draws us closer to him in worship. So in the text today, we're going to see that the experiences, that the blessings of Christ, that as Paul experienced those blessings, it compelled him. Let's read verses 24 through 29 in Colossians 1. Paul says this, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he works powerfully within me." Let's pray. Jesus, I'm so glad that you have saved us. You died on the cross for our sins. And since you left, you sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And God, as the Holy Spirit indwells us who are saved, as the children of God, I pray that you would teach us what we need to hear. You communicate us what we need to know, God, so that we can walk out of here knowing that you are still working in and on us, and we can experience your grace and blessings in a mighty and profound way. So Jesus, I want to pray for us all in your name. Amen. If you're an outline person, we're going to kind of look at the text in two different categories today. In the first three verses, we're going to see the experiences of Paul. And in the last two verses, we're going to see Paul compelled. So again, let's take a look at verse 24 and see how Paul experienced the blessings of Christ in his sufferings. This is what verse 24 says again. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." Paul suffered a lot in his ministry and his service to God. He greatly suffered for Jesus Christ. Now listen, here's some of the sufferings Paul went through as he described them in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says this, "I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm." As Paul went through these brutal sufferings and hard times in life, it was the grace of God that kept him up, that held him up, that strengthened him to keep on going on. And as Paul experienced the blessings of Christ in these sufferings and these hardships he was going through, those blessings and riches in Christ that he gave to Paul, that God gave to Paul, far more outweighed than the sufferings Paul was going through. The grace of God is so much greater than any sufferings and trials. That is why Paul could rejoice. That is why Paul could rejoice adrift at sea. That is why he could rejoice without food for days on end. That's why he could rejoice when he's shivering at night or the danger of facing death every corner he makes. But I think here's one of the specific examples of Paul personally experiencing the blessings of Christ. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4:7. Paul says, "As we pray with supplication and thanksgiving, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This idea of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding isn't something that I can't really remember that I've experienced. Now, I probably have, but I can't specifically remember it. But I know someone who did. And when we were in Nebraska in our youth group, there's this kid. His name is Robbie. Robbie was an awesome dude. And Robbie, he had a crazy life. His biological dad died, and his mom married again to this awesome Christian man. And Brian died again, his stepfather. And Robbie, I think, was 14 at the time. So I went through 2 fathers in 14 years, something extremely hard for anyone, let alone a 14-year-old guy. And so one night at youth group, we're going through the group and the youth pastor's like, "Praise reports, you know, what's God doing in your life?" And Robbie's like, "You know that verse in Philippians, you know, it talks about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding?" And we're like, "Yeah, we know that. We've all heard of that before, right?" You know, "Yeah, we know that." And he's like, "You know, right now is an awful time in my life." And we're like, "Oh, what's he gonna say?" And he's like, "I've mourned, I've wept, but knowing my Father's in heaven is so much greater." And he's like, "In this moment, I should be freaking out. I should be losing control of my life, but I have this peace." This is your exact word. I won't ever forget it. He's like, "I have this peace that surpasses all understanding." He's like, "I can't describe it." And in that, in his sufferings and his trials, Robbie could rejoice. In Paul's sufferings and trials, as he was shipwrecked at sea for the 3rd time, who goes on the boat after the 2nd time it wrecks, right? In those moments, Paul was still able to rejoice because it was the peace of God and the grace of God that was upholding him. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, Paul knew very well. Now, Paul not only experienced the peace of God in his sufferings and trials, Paul knew something else. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 5. He says this, "But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." As we taste, as we experience trials, hardships, sufferings in life, we need to rejoice because we have to remember that in those moments, God is still working in us and on us. Knowing suffering produces endurance and character and hope, We have to remember that sufferings and trials and hardships, they're part of our sanctification, the process of becoming more like Christ. So when we are in the midst of a trial, when we are in the midst of suffering, we have to remember that God is using this to make me more like Him. But are trials hard? Oh yeah, they're extremely hard. But is the grace and plans of God greater? Most definitely, yes. See, our faith and our trust in Him, it is tested by trials and sufferings. But trials and sufferings reveal how much faith and how much truth or how much trust we do have in Him. Remember, Christ is still perfecting you. He is still molding you. He is always with you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. As Paul experienced these sufferings, he experienced the blessings of Christ far more, and it compelled him. So as Paul experienced these blessings of Christ through sufferings and trials, let's move on to verse 25, where we see Paul will experience the blessings of Christ through his new purpose. Let's read verse 25. It says this, "That is the church of which I became a minister, Paul, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." Remember, Paul became an apostle of Jesus Christ through the stewardship, through the gift that Jesus gave Paul. Right? Paul was sent to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. And along the way, as he basically is a church planter, he built up the church along the way. In Acts 9:15, the Lord says this to Ananias after Paul gets saved. He says, "Go. Paul is my chosen instruments to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." What we see is God is calling out Paul. He is drawing out Paul from the things of the world and is calling Paul and giving Paul a new purpose in life, and that is to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the blessings of Christ that Paul experienced was that he was given a specific mission, a specific purpose. And the main part of Paul's mission, as we were talked about, was to proclaim the gospel. And Paul did just that. But we have to remember, he also had other purposes and responsibilities. Remember, he built tents for a living. And he used that as a platform to serve Jesus Christ. Because if we remember, in Acts, as he's building a tent, I don't know how it all worked out specifically, the Bible doesn't say, but in his tent-making business, he ran into Priscilla and Aquila, and he taught them, and he discipled them. So what we see is all of Paul's jobs, responsibilities, purposes of life were to serve his greater mission, to serve Jesus Christ. Paul viewed everything as part of his mission. The purposes of life that God has called you to, the platforms that God has specifically given every single one of us, are you using them to glorify yourself or to glorify God? For example, your job, school, kids, your marriage, your hobbies, even your retirement. Are you using those platforms? Are you using those things God's given you? Are you using those purposes for your sake or for God's sake? See, when God calls us out of our unsatisfying mission of life and places us and calls us to his ultimate fulfilling mission, that is the greatest calling anyone can ever have. Some of the greatest blessings in life that a child of God can experience is knowing that, one, Christ has created us for a specific purpose, and two, he is most glorified, and we are most delighted when we chase after those purposes he has called us to. Paul experienced many times over again the blessings of Christ in his life. But let's move on to verses 26 and 27. As we see Paul experience the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 26, "The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, I'm always fascinated with huge, big advancements of mankind. So one of the biggest ones that I've been alive to see is probably the development of the internet. You know, before the 90s, the internet was kind of this weird thing that only certain people had, and you had to be like in the government, and it's not really, people didn't have it. It wasn't in the hands of the common folk, right? Now, whatever your thoughts may be on the internet, it has made my life much more convenient. For example, let's think of Amazon, right? Jaylee's sitting there, she says, oh, David, we need this. So I'm like, all right, I go to Amazon, one click, it shows up at my door magically in 2 days. It is great. I love the internet. But there's also Google Maps, right? When you come from the Midwest and you know all the roads because there's about three, and you come out here and there's about 3,000 in a town, Google Maps has saved me a lot of fights, a lot of anger, a lot of hair pulling as we travel around Philly and New York and in and through other places. I love Google Maps. But probably the thing I love the most is the Domino's app. You can pull out your phone. Remember, there's no good pizza in Nebraska. You got to take what you can get. You can't be picky. So you pull out your phone, right? And you order, you pick what you want, and it says a really nice thing. It says, maybe it's Jess or Russ. They are making your pizza. And you're like, yes, they got my pizza, right? And it's great. It says step by step. It's like, Russ is now throwing your pizza. Russ is now saucing your pizza. Russ is now putting the pepperonis on your pizza. And Russ has put the oven in the pizza. It is a great loading bar. You can see step by step. You can kind of creep on them. You know, if you're really impatient, you can kind of hit reload every 10 seconds to make sure it's not like getting, it's really slow. But the internet has made my life so much more convenient. It's been one of the greatest advancements I've seen in mankind from since I've been alive. But who would have known the internet would have had this large of impact 20 years ago, 30 years ago? But the revelation that Jesus told Paul was more groundbreaking than the internets, was much larger and huger, had much more impact than the internets. The revelation that Jesus told Paul was one of the greatest advancements of grace that has ever happened to mankind. The idea of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, could be proclaimed to the entire world. As we are now 2,000 years advanced in history from this exact moment in Colossians that we're reading about, it's hard for us to understand the impact that this really made, of what was really happening. But when Jesus initially told his disciples, told Paul to go proclaim the gospel, that was huge, right? That's bigger than Wawa handing out free hoagies, right? We'd be excited, but when Jesus said, go proclaim the gospel, that was bigger than that. Or to you Eagles fans, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, yes, the proclamation of the gospel is even bigger than that. Never once did God on this such large scale tell man to go spread the good news of God. And Paul was at the middle of all of it. He was the trailblazer of the gospel. He was the forerunner of the gospel. He set the pace. And now Paul has passed the baton to us to spread the gospel and for us to set the example for future generations of the church. In the text, we also see something interesting. We see this word, a mystery revealed. A mystery is something that wasn't revealed earlier. It wasn't previously known, but it now has been revealed. The mystery is that we can now have Christ in us, meaning the Holy Spirit in us. So you remember, before this time, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament only lives in certain people and on certain people for only certain periods of time. It never existed in all the children of God for as long as they live in the Old Testament. That's not how it works. But now, what Jesus has done, Christ living in us, as Jesus left the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit down to us so we can have the Holy Spirit always dwelling within us. It's kind of like, for example, you know, when I was growing up, we had landlines. We didn't have cell phones, right? I had a car phone, right? I saw my dad have one of those. But the landline, there's a couple things that have to be working perfectly for you to receive a call. One, you have to be in the house to hear it, right? So if you're out gardening or out of town, you're not going to get that phone call. Two, if someone's on your dial-up internet, you're not getting that phone call. And three, if the power's out, well, you're definitely not getting that phone call, right? But with cell phones, what happens now? Power goes out. Oh, we have satellites. We still have internet. So check your Facebook and Twitter. Or you go to the Midwest, where there's no towns for miles. There's only cattle and fields. Feels like you're out in the boonies, right? But guess what? You still have LTE out there, right? And so the Holy Spirit now is kind of like our cell phones. It's always with us. We always have service. Even if it feels like we're in nowhere, even if it feels like maybe God's left us for abandoned, he hasn't. The Holy Spirit is always with us now. Because that's what happened when Jesus left. He sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to bring remembrance of all the things that God has taught us. I get more excited and in more of awe of God when God uses the Holy Spirit to teach and to communicate through me one way or another. Because I get to be used by God himself. And I get to experience his grace and his blessings and strength in my life to either uphold me or to give grace to another. So when was the last time you heard from God? Was it within the last 24 hours? Last week? This month? Ever? I would say if you haven't heard from God in a while, you should do some soul searching asking God why he's not communicating with you. Because he usually doesn't communicate because of sin in our lives, and that's something only between you and God. You have to get it figured out. But whatever's happening in our lives, however God's communicating, the blessings of the revelations of Christ has changed the world forever because of God's grace. And Paul experienced that, and now we get to experience it in our day and age today because of God's grace. So as we have seen Paul experience the blessings of Christ through his sufferings, through the purpose that God given him, right? And through the revelation of Jesus Christ, let's see how all those experiences now has compelled Paul to serve. Let's read verses 28 and 29 in Colossians. Paul says this, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone, and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy, that he works powerfully within me." As Paul experienced the blessings of Christ through his sufferings, through his purpose, and through the revelation as God revealed himself to Paul, it compelled Paul to serve the church. Now, in a couple weeks, it'll be Zaley and I's two-year anniversary. And these 2 years, it's been a crazy, bumpy ride, but it's also been the best 2 years of our lives. As we first got married, right, we would serve not out of love necessarily, but out of conditions, right? Everything was very conditional at first. But as we have experienced more life together, as we have fought together, as we have laughed together, as we've spend more time together, as we've gotten to know each other more and more, it has deepened our love for one another. We serve out of love more and more, and we serve out of conditions less and less as we get to know each other more because we love each other more. And I'm pretty sure all of you have been married or even have a really good friendship with someone. You're really close friends. The more you love your friends, the more you love your spouse, the greater is your desire to serve them. And it's just like that with God. The greater our love is for God, the greater our desire is to serve him. That's why Paul continually, whether adrift at sea, tossed in a jail, sleeping in a cave, I don't know, probably freezing cold, in those moments, in those harsh days, Paul still continually pushed after his relationship with Jesus Christ because Paul loved him, and out of that love became service to God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans. I think it's interesting. In Romans 10:17, Paul says this, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God." The main way we mature, the main way we grow in our love of God is by hearing the word of God. So this is what Paul would do as he, on his three missionary journeys, would go into a new town or an existing town. He would go to the synagogue, right? That might be a new word to you, I don't know. But a synagogue is kind of back in the old days, when was this, probably 50, 60 AD. He would go to the synagogue, a religious building, a community building, a spiritual building, where hopefully they were going over the word of God. Paul would go into that synagogue right as he entered the town, and he would begin to reason the scriptures with everybody there. He would explain why it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead. And if people responded in faith, Paul would then stay there for a little time longer so he could teach these people the word of God so they can grow in their faith. Paul would give all of his power to serve these people because of his love for God. He served them so they could know more about God, so they can grow in the love of God. Bringing people to maturity wasn't only Paul's job. It's not only the pastor's job, but it's all of our jobs as a church. See, through our conflicts, through our sufferings, our afflictions, our trials, whatever it may be, God has not only brought us through those things to mature us, He's also brought us along through those things so we can use those experiences to help others who are struggling with the same stuff. Many times God has brought people into my life specifically that were struggling with something that I just went through so that God can use me as an instrument of His grace and help encourage those people along the way of maturing in Christ. But specifically, I think here's a couple different ways we can help bring others to maturity in Christ, every single one of us. I think we can help bring people to maturity in Christ through using our gifts, right? I think sometimes the church views the pastor as the only one who does that, and that is completely false. It's all of our jobs. We all have gifts, right? So when I was in high school, when we play basketball games, sometimes there'd be pep band there, right? They're playing some songs as we're warming up. And our pep band at my high school was really good. They projected this beautiful, amazing sound. Now, we go to some other schools, and their pep band wasn't all too good, right? It sounded more like just a bunch of, I don't know, kids beating on garbage cans and just singing la, la, la. It was awful, right? The percussions were beaten too fast. The woodwinds weren't even playing. And the brass, I think, were playing a different song, right? It just sounded awful. But what happens when we use all of our gifts? What happens when we all come together, the church? We're like a beautiful pep band. We project this amazing sound. But as a church, we do more than project an amazing sound. We should project the love of God. And in and through that, we will mature as a unit, as a whole, and we will draw others in because of the sound and the love of what we're displaying. So for example, right now we got people in the back like Bill and Harry serving, and we have people serving in the nursery, sometimes as John or Natalie or others, right? Imagine if Harry wasn't running the words. You know how extremely difficult that would be to sing a new song or read the verse of the day? It'd be awful. It'd be horrible. Or imagine if the music sound, if Bill wasn't back there configuring music and all you could hear was the drums and the piano, wouldn't that be extremely distracting? Or what if there was no one over there in the nursery taking care of kids? That would be distracting us. And that's just specifically in this example of the service right now. And I'm not talking about all the other times that people can use their gifts of serving. See, what happens when we all come together, we all use our gifts. As a music group, use their gifts, their musical gifts. They bring us to a place of greater worship and awe of God before we hear His word. So what happens when we all come together, when we all use our gifts, we bring others to maturity along the way. I think that's one way we can help bring others to maturity. I think another way is we can help bring others is through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there is no more revelation. What I mean is there's no more books of the Bible, but there is new and more revelation. Let me explain before you run with that. Here's what I mean. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit will teach you something new. Maybe that's go pray for your neighbor. Go help that mom with four kids that are screaming as she packs her car full of groceries. Maybe God speaks to you through His word. I don't know, but God still speaks. And when He does, we need to be listening. When God reveals Himself to us, we need to act on it. Because I've been most blessed when I've been prayed for, encouraged, served. When someone told me they're doing this because God told them to do. Because in those moments, I was in a time of need, needed help, encouragement, grace. I don't know, whatever it is. I've been most blessed when people obeyed God and helped me in my time of need. We need to be listening to God and what He's telling us. As God has revealed Himself to us so we can personally know Him, how are you doing in getting to know God? Are you taking time out of your day reading your Bible and praying? Or do you tend to be obedient when He talks, or disobedient and ignore Him when He reveals Himself to you? The blessings of Christ compelled Paul to serve the church, to serve the people. So how is your service? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to bless those around you, or do you use your gifts only for yourself? Are you using your gifts in a way that harmonizes and flows with the rest of the church, or are you using your gifts, or are you not using your gifts, and because of that, the church is lacking in your absence? Is your service rooted in grace, in the blessings of Christ, or is it rooted in the desire of impressing others? The more Paul experienced the blessings of Christ, it compelled him to serve God. The more I experience the blessings of Christ, it compels me to serve God. And the more we experience the blessings of Christ, it will compel us to serve God. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm so glad that you teach us all things through your Holy Spirit, that you've given us everything you need, that you saved us. We have so much to be grateful and thankful for. So Jesus, as we leave the church today, this building, I pray that you would communicate to us what we need to hear so that we can be an instrument of grace to someone else in their time of need. So Jesus, I'm going to pray for us all in your name. Amen.